From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We're going to pick up our conversation about the presidential race on this week's Reporters Roundtable. We'll also talk about the May Day immigration rallies and take a closer look at politics in Indiana and North Carolina, two states with primaries on Tuesday. For more, we have CBS News reporter Bill Whitaker. Also joining us is Greer Holmes, public affairs reporter at WRVS in North Carolina, and Terry B., host of the chat room on WTLC in Indianapolis. Hi, folks.
Good morning.
Hello.
So we just heard House Majority Whip James Clyburn and Representative Charles Rangel give their take on the race. Now, Congressman Clyburn mentioned that Reverend Wright's tussle with Obama was akin to, quote, eating your young. Bill, what do you think of that comment? He was pretty tough.
That's about the strongest comment I think I've heard on this so far. But, to tell you the truth, right now, the Reverend Wright is kind of like political kryptonite for Barack Obama. He's afraid to touch him, and a little bit of this is a double standard. I mean, the attention that's going to Reverend Wright, there's not as much attention going to ministers on the right who have said, perhaps equally outrageous things. But that doesn't change the fact that right now, this Wright situation is hurting Obama.
Yeah, one of those ministers is John Hagee, who Senator McCain has been asked to answer for, but just a little bit. Now, both congressmen also said neither candidate should drop out just to wrap up the race early. Greer and Terry, North Carolina and Indiana, have an unusually strong role in the Democratic nomination this time around. Six other states still have primaries scheduled. States or territories have primaries scheduled after these Tuesday races. So let me ask you, what does your state bring to the process? In other words, what kind of voters are going to come to the table? How will the primaries reshape the race, even if it doesn't end the race? Terry first.
There is such an excitement here in Indianapolis and across the entire state. We have not seen anything like this politically in years. And voters are saying, you know what, we have a lot to say and we want to be heard and need to be heard. And I was pulling some figures from the voting offices here in Indianapolis, and I mean the numbers are coming in very strong. Marion County are requesting Democratic ballots 3-1 over Republicans so far, and many voters here are doing advance voting. So that is an indication itself that the voters here are very, very involved and want to see their candidate win.
Greer, how are things folding out in your state?
Well, on Tuesday, Mike Easley, which is our governor now, backed Hillary Clinton. And the irony of that is the fact that he is also going to be one of the superdelegates. Now, he is pretty much very popular with the white and working class Democrats in this state. So right now, we're going to see how it's going to work itself out when it comes down to the actual, the super candidates actually participating.
Greer, do you think that race is a factor in your state? I mean, the question of the ads that the Republican Party in the state has generated. I mean, is race part of the race?
Well, and also, too, I believe that it is. People are very concerned about it because now this is an opportunity to see how we all can stand behind a candidate, not so much because of race, but also because of the fact that we all decide that economics are number one on our plate, and that's not a race issue. That's the one that affects every one of us. Also, too, for the state of North Carolina, we're also dealing with gender as a part of our politics this year because of we're going to have a gubernatorial race, and a lieutenant governor is running, and she is probably a part of this whole dialogue that's going on. So for the state of North Carolina, race and gender are really playing a heavy factor in this. And I believe that most people, after hearing what people are saying, we just really want to have someone who's going to make the economics of the state of North Carolina and for the country really make a turn for the better for us.
Terry, what are the bread and butter issues in your state?
I think the bread and butter issues are no different here in Indiana than they are in any other state. As Greer just mentioned, we're concerned about jobs, if we're going to be able to feed our families, educating our children, the crime rate, health care, the environment. We want the same things here for our children and our generation after us, either at the same or at a better level than what they are now. So I think the concerns here and the issues are the same as any other state.
Bill, there are some issues that have made the news, like recently the idea of the gas tax holiday, that people shouldn't have to pay the 18 cents a gallon gas tax from Memorial Day to Labor Day so they can take their family vacations, et cetera. Senator Clinton supports that. Senator Obama doesn't. But the question I have is, how do you feel the news is reflecting the issues as opposed to the horse race? This is a perennial question where, you know, sometimes we in the business get caught up in the numbers and the polls. How are we doing on transmitting the issues?
Well, I think you've got a great point there. I mean, and it's ever thus. Every time there's an election, we talk about, is the media covering the horse race? Is the media covering the issues? And I think you got a very clear reaction, I guess, to what people perceived as the media going after the wrong issues with the last debate hosted by ABC, when not just the candidates or not just Obama, but many of the viewers complained that ABC spent a healthy chunk of time, 40, 50 minutes, just talking about personal issues. And the people are saying, we want to hear about what matters to us, the economy. I also think, though, that that's part of what the candidates have to do. They have to get out there and make their argument. They cannot rely on the media to be the projector of their voice. They've got to get out there and shake those hands, meet those people, go to those bowling alleys and make the case for themselves.
How do you think the coverage has changed this election around than 4 years ago? For example, some people have really cited the use of both professional and amateur video that's on websites, YouTube, et cetera. How do you see the differences in covering this election than 2004 or 2000?
Isn't that amazing, though, what you're talking about, that readily accessible video? I mean, we've from the macaca moment up to what you're seeing now with people even using YouTube to get their message out. It's, the outlets with the internet and with YouTube and with, cell phones and all that sort of thing. There's so many, many different outlets. And one thing the candidates always have to be aware of is that they are always on. There is never a down moment. As Barack Obama found in San Francisco, you think you're talking to a small crowd of supporters and somebody there has a cell phone and they're picking it up. So you're always on, and so you always have to be on message. And that's very, very difficult, and especially after they're going 16, 17-hour days. They're wiped out, they're tired, and everything they say is going to be picked up and projected.
Well, I just want to reintroduce our topic. We're talking politics with our panel of reporters, our Reporters Roundtable. You are listening to NPR's News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea, and our guests today are CBS News reporter Bill Whitaker, WRVS public affairs reporter Greer Holmes of North Carolina, and Terry B., the host of the chat room on WTLC in Indianapolis. Let me go back to the local issues. Greer, you're in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. What's that city like, and what do you think the people are looking for from this election?
Well, this is a small town, and it is a university town as well. And we're sitting between Hampton Roads and the Outer Banks. It's rural, still very has a very much of a rural personality. And I do know the one thing that is affecting us is the economics. A lot of we have immigration issues here because it is a rural community and because so much farming and is going on. That affects the way people are looking at things, wanting to know that issue, immigration, has now been really downsized by the candidates. We're also looking at the economic issue, gas, the things that really generate any type of interest in any community, I think is very reflective here. And just the opportunities for, after you're educating your children, that a lot of them are concerned about them leaving and not really bringing back a lot of the information and the technology and the type of things that can really help this area grow to its fullest potential. So I think a lot of people here are just deeply, deeply concerned about the economic issue here.
Can you give me an example of something that you've heard from someone in your area about how they feel about politics?
Well, what's happening here is that this whole as I said earlier, the gender, the race, politics is really making it a lot more interesting for a lot of people. I do know that there are some older people who have retired here to this area, and they are really hoping that the opportunity for younger people to participate in the process, that this might be a very viable way for people to actually see the youth, those 18 to 21-year-olds who have really taken politics kind of like for granted in a way, that they probably will start participating. So they are getting involved in the Obama campaign in a very different way. They see it as a mentoring thing, the Clinton campaign. So that's the one thing that I've found, that for people who have moved from other areas that are who've come here, one person in particular was saying that this is a great opportunity for us to talk about the politics of the past and how they really have changed for us because of this actual campaign going on now.
You mentioned immigration, and I want to move on to that topic. Yesterday, there were rallies all over the country for immigration reform. Some Latino workers and other folks took a day off work to show the impact they have in the society. And, Bill, you know, Los Angeles is a hotbed of these immigration issues. And how do you feel the turnout was generally smaller? Do you think that it's had an impact on the public discourse at this point, or is the issue a little less prominent than it was before?
Well, it's definitely a little less prominent. I think this is one of those bad news, good news situation for the protesters. The bad news is, as you said, many fewer people showed up yesterday all around the country than have in years past. But the good news is that all three of the lead candidates, one of these three who will be president of the United States next year, all of them endorse some sort of significant immigration reform. So the issue is, if anything, is not going away. It'll probably be back on the front burner again.
Terry, in Indiana and Indianapolis, how are African Americans specifically reacting to the idea of immigration, particularly Latino immigration? It's caused conflict. You know, the attitudes that people from both cultures have caused conflict in many places, from big cities to small towns. How are things playing out in the state and in the city?
On the show that I host on Sunday mornings, I visit this topic from time to time, and it has not changed very much. There is some resistance, there is suspicion, there is, in some extreme cases, anger that you have illegal immigrants are able to cross our borders. In some cases, they become citizens. In other cases, they aren't becoming citizens, but can receive the benefits and privileges such as government-subsidized education, health care, and they get jobs that, in their words, we don't want them, but here they are taking our jobs anyway. And yet the citizens who have a right to be here, who are naturalized citizens, they don't have access to these same educational and health care and job benefits. And that's creating some resentment.
Greer, you know, when you talk about rural areas, there's this whole question that has been a subtext in the immigration debate, which is whether or not black people will take the jobs that undocumented people are taking. And we've discussed this with experts on our show, including Julianne Malvo, an economist and president of Bennett College. Do you think, given some of the dangerous and low-paying work that immigrants are doing, including undocumented immigrants, that black folks would take those jobs if given the opportunity?
Well, I've heard, and this is something that's been like third-hand removed, so I can't say it's been me directly, but I've heard that even in our community that a lot of those immigrant workers are getting paid higher rates per hour than the actual black people who are doing the same exact work because of the alleged work ethic. So I don't, you know, it is a very explosive issue because of the fact that it's just being treated differently. They realize that the work has to be done, and they're willing to pay for it. And to the point where even they're discriminating against literally the black people who are doing the same exact work by the hourly rate that they're paying them.
And Bill, there have definitely been some studies. I know of a study out of New York City that said that immigrants were preferred over native-born blacks because of this idea that black Americans have a lesser work ethic. In a city like Los Angeles, where the black population is under 10%, do you think that affects the chances of black people to live well and get paid?
I attended a symposium run by the LA Times either last year or not too much before, and it was to talk about the black-brown issue. And all the people on the stand were talking about how we had much more in common than we had our differences. And once it was opened up to the floor for the comments from the folks, the people in the audience were outraged. I mean, the African-American folks at this event were convinced that they were losing jobs that Latinos were taking, and that the more Latino workers came across the border, the fewer blacks would be working. I'm not sure if statistics bear that out, but lost in the whole argument is here in Los Angeles, both black and brown have poor schools. Both black and brown don't have enough jobs. I mean, there are things where we do need to come together to talk about issues that affect us all.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Whitaker is a news reporter for CBS. He joined us here in our studios at NPR West. Greer Holmes is the public affairs reporter at WRVS in Elizabeth, North Carolina. And Terry B. is the host of The Chat Room on WTLC in Indianapolis. She joined us from the studios at WFYI.